All right. City Council meeting for Tuesday, August 1st, 2023 is called to order. Invocation by Pastor Jerry Peebles, Romar Beach Baptist Church, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for having me. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, you're all powerful. You are all knowing. And you're all present. And because of those things, we with confidence come to honor you, to thank you, and to praise you for all good gifts come from you. We are a blessed people. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for these who serve this community, those who sit at this dais today, and those who are working behind the scenes to do so many different things. God, we thank you for them. We pray that you give them wisdom from on high, that you give them clear direction, that you protect those who serve and protect us. And at the end of the day, Father, may we be conscious and willing to say thank you for who you are and what you've done and what you will do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan.
Here. Before we get started, I got a question for Adam, too. Adam,
yes,
I need you. Explain to me, and I should know this, but I don't. The CRS system, you have the FEMA requirements, which is X, and then you have our Freeboard requirements, which is Y. So if that CRS is going to be recalculated because of variances, Why are we allowed to give the variances?
So we have a variance procedure in our ordinance that's been adopted, CRS approved it, et cetera. But it's extraordinary circumstances to grant variances. They're pretty gray about that and gray area. What happens is our elevation certificates, they monitor those. And if they're correct, they have to be 100% correct, they count as a plus. Well, that elevation certificate on that mobile home is going to count negatively. Mm-hmm. Now, you still have to pass with a 90% pass rate on elevation certificates. So if we have 300 elevation certificates in a year and five variances, we're good. Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, if the Freeboard, is it pretty much optional for every city to decide what it is?
The CRS requires you to have a Freeboard. That's why.
But how much?
It's a minimum of two, and we have that extra foot in V in Coastal A.
Okay.
And those, the higher you go in those floodplains, the better your insurance discount is. So somebody is getting a little cheaper discount on their flood insurance. Even with the rates going up, they're still getting a little bit of a discount by going that extra foot.
Okay. So if we gave a variance of 1.5 feet, we would still meet the CRS requirement?
We got to go with our ordinance. So we have to be at that 3 foot. If you waived it a foot and a half, you're still in violation of the ordinance per se. So they would still ding us for that EC.
So it's the ordinance and the 3 foot that gives us
it does give us the better discount. Mm-hmm. So
I got you.
So
yep. Okay. That's all I got.
And I'll investigate that more and let you know.
That's fine.
Look at certain zones more stringently than others?
They look at 100% of our elevation certificates.
Okay. Oh, well, so we're not even close to giving
10%.
You'd
have to get over the 30 mark to get below 90%.
10%.
Yeah,
and then you have a margin of error that surveyors may make an error on one, and if we accept one with an error that's just a little one digit off somewhere, they'll ding that as well. They've gotten really strict. They run them through a computer, and they're really strict on the elevation certificates now.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. I entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as written.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Consideration of previous minutes. Flood Damage Prevention Board, regular council meeting, committee of the whole, 7/11/23. If there are no objections, the minutes, reading of the minutes will be waived. Are there any corrections to the minutes? No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Announcements. And I'd like to call Jonathan Langston up and let him talk about how fantastic our Expect Excellence production was.
Well, I'm Jonathan Langston. I'm the director of the Expect Excellence Department here at the City of Orange Beach. And the biggest thing I want to say is what Jessica and I've always said was that, that's not Jessica, Jessica. is if we can dream it, y'all let us do it. That's amazing. Y'all had the vision for this five and a half years ago, and y'all have allowed to kind of build this vision, take your vision, and with your help and with the help of Ford Handley and then all of our staff you've allowed us to build, we've made something amazing. We really have. But it's not that we have. The people in this community have. This was our 15th show. Now, this was our music department show, and our music department, we have over 230 children that take music lessons through the week, all year long, from voice, guitar, piano, music theory, percussion, and our first employee with Expect Excellence was Caleb Pittman. So I want to speak to that just a little bit, but Jessica Langston is our creative director for the city. If you'll join us, because she wants to say a few things, but she's also over all the arts and enrichment for the after-school program and the summer programs. But again, this was our 15th show, and the amazing thing that we get to do is have the people from our community all the way from 75 years old mentoring the other adults and the tweens and the 20-somethings all the way down to the children. And that's just amazing. And another person I'd like to mention before I let them say just a couple things and thank you guys is none of this would happen without Caleb, without Jessica, and without Polly Pittman. She is our administrative director. And now there are so many moving parts in what we do now that when we're in the middle of this show, before this show is even over, we're already working on Junie B. Jones and Wizard of Oz. So we have three or four things happening at the same time. But I know you want to speak to a little bit about what you saw. I just want to say thank you and recognize the people in our community and the people in our department that did that. So, Caleb, tell them a little bit about who helps you out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Jonathan. Well, I had the incredible pleasure to lead this amazing show, and I'm very blessed to have an incredible team that were able to really divide up all the work together and be able to create something really special for the community that just makes something fun and put a smile on people's faces. One of the big comments that we heard was, you made me forget. And looking out in the world and just how hard it is sometimes, you put a smile on my face. And if that's what we can do for our community and just be able to help and just bring positivity, then that's what we want to do. And we had the pleasure to work with this incredibly talented cast. And we worked on with these people for 3 months, people ranging from ages 11 all the way to 75. And it was just a lot of fun to turn back time and be able to just relive some of the greatest music of all time, in my opinion.
Yes.
But honestly, this couldn't happen without our wonderful leadership and my incredible team. This wouldn't be possible. So I just want to thank you guys so much for what you guys do. Thank you.
Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah, sure thing. Hunter Britt, Chris Jenkins, and Matthew Davis Brown. So a lot of these guys, yeah. So not only do they teach lessons, but they help direct and facilitate all of our planning for our children, for our classes. Hunter focuses on recording engineering. We have a lot of people that come in and they use our recording studio, and being able to spread that out all over the world and be able to put toward our shows. Chris does a wonderful job prepping all of our vocalists and everything from tap, the dance, and if you've seen what he can do, he's something else. So, but I have just a wonderful team, and I couldn't do without him. So thank him for him. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you, Caleb. I just want to say that I'm so incredibly proud, and we have a lot of people behind the scenes. Nobody realizes just how much it takes until you're actually part of a production. So at the Performing Arts Center, we have Matt Carroll, and he's our technical director, and he does the beautiful light show that you guys see. And we have Jake Clemens doing our sound. Thank you so much, Jake. It was rounded out and beautiful. It sounded so good. And then we have Stacey Brain, and she can't be here tonight because she is literally conducting the children's auditions for Wizard of Oz right now. So she's kind of being my right hand over there while I'm over here, and that's where I have to run as soon as we're finished. So we've got important people like that handling things behind the scenes, and we have people from other departments as well. You know, Mark Anderson is helping us set up the ticketing site. And we have everybody in the Expect Excellence program, pretty much everybody that's a staff member over there. We have Krista Williams was handling the culinary arts beverage station. So if you enjoyed a refreshment out there in the lobby, that was Krista and her kiddos with culinary arts. We have Shannon working on costumes and graphic design and photography. Shannon Gray was really absolutely wonderful. And we had Rebecca Davis Brown doing the choreography. Miss Pat Stout is my favorite volunteer. She's been with me since Floribama, and she just shows up with a smile on her face, and she helps with anything and everything. And I'm just so grateful to have people like that so that we can do big things. So thank you to Expect Excellence. Thank you to Logistics. And I just want to say, if you're a cast or crew member and you're here tonight, will you stand up really quickly? I just want to say thank you to all of these people.
Well, when you performed to Play That Funky Music, White Boy, y'all had me, I'm telling you. So.
Matt Hurst had you at the beginning, didn't he?
Yeah, but do we have a video at all? Okay. Do we have a video? Where's it at?
I have a video of the whole production. I thought
that's what. Oh, I was talking about. I didn't think to ask anybody to bring it. Okay. Yeah. Hurry back. We'll wait. It was. It was fantastic. And I hope we find some dates to do it again. Because it was too good just to be three performances, and I'd love to see y'all be able to do it. So,
Mayor, I just want to say a couple things. Number one, thank you, Jonathan, Jessica, and the entire group. You have brought Expect Excellence to a level that none of us could have ever imagined. You just came off a very successful culinary camp, and you've got them lined up to trying to get into that camp. And now the Dream On was absolutely fabulous. Whenever you can go and look at someone performing and they make it look so easy, they are so good. And I know it took hours and hours of practicing and commitment. So we say thank you, because we are able to go and enjoy it and laugh and have a great time. And so you have changed Orange Beach in the arts and other areas, I think, forever. So when we just say thank you. We appreciate all the work that y'all do.
That Performing Arts Center is some of the best money we ever spent.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So absolutely.
We're going to get it back. All right. Well, thank y'all. Like I said, I don't have enough words to express our appreciation. So, all right, let's move on. Any other announcements? Thoughts? Okay, if not, we'll move to auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. All right, moving to presentations. Matt, dear, come on up here, Matt. Matt Young, our district superintendent for State Parks, what, Southwest District Superintendent?
Thank you, Mayor. Well,
a good friend of Orange Beach, guys.
That is a hard act to follow right there. Now, let me tell you something. As a recreation and leisure professional and a resident of Orange Beach, amazing.
So what are you singing?
And, I don't sing very well. Oh. But I do preach State Parks. And Mayor, Council, Staff, Ford, on behalf of the Commissioner's Office and the State Park Director's Office, we thank you for the partnership we have. Taking this from the level you are at the municipality and then moving into the state park, which of course incorporates your corporate limits, it's a true a team effort. And my colleagues to the north, I talk about this a lot, they don't like this, but there's no secret, Gulf State Park is a crown jewel of the state park system. And we're proud. We're proud of it. We're proud to be part of Orange Beach. We're proud to be state parks. So again, from those offices, we really appreciate it, the partnership, the friendship. We are a community. We are a true community. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about some global stuff in state parks, and then I'm going to introduce a friend from State Forestry to talk about the upcoming prescribed burn. But for a long time, there's been a lot of thought about state parks, and we have 21 of them. And a lot of people think, oh, Gulf State Park floats all 21 state parks. Well, that was true for many years. I'm happy to say, on behalf of the commissioner and the director now, all 21 state parks are viable, and they're self-supporting. An interesting thing about state parks, and a lot of our folks may not know this, is we are self-funded. We do not take any tax dollars. We do not have any millage coming in. So if you're not paying, I'm not staying. That's how we talk, you know, in state parks. So we're entrepreneur in that. We generate our revenue internally. We also have close partnerships with our cities and our counties and various departments and agencies within our state. There's no secret that state parks are extremely valuable. That was shown last year when the state unanimously voted for an $85 million bond. The exciting thing for us here is that you usually put your money where you're making your money. So a good portion of that is, in fact, coming to Gulf State Park and several large projects. Currently, we've got the Beach Renourishment, which we're partnering with you and the City of Gulf Shores. That'll be coming in and replacing a lot of our sand as we desperately need to preserve our beaches. The Romar Beach Access, that's really prevalent to our community here. That's underway. We are approximately 56% complete with that. We're looking at hopefully a September completion deadline on that, which puts that parking inventory back into our inventory. Yeah. We'll be adding 45 additional spots to that parking lot to include a climate-controlled restroom, which in fact has a little office in the back of it, which will serve our lifeguards here at Orange Beach for a place to duck out and be safe during the hot summer months when they're guarding our guests and our citizens at that beach. Lake Shelby, we got 17 new cabins coming into our inventory there. That's a great revenue generator. That's going to bring our lakeside cabins up to 30. So that inventory is growing. The public demand for state park accommodations is growing. We currently run at about 89% or 89 to 98% throughout the year. In our RV sites, 498 of them plus eight primitive campsites. It's high demand. So to follow that through, we all know we had a golf course there. There's plans in play to put another 300 RV sites there, which is going to add to that too. It's no secret that people love to come here and stay in their RVs, and we're going to entertain that.
Will you be the largest park when you do that?
Sir, by accommodations, yes, sir. Yeah, so we currently have 6,200 acres. Depends on how you look at Gulf State Park, anywhere from 6,200 to 6,500 acres of conservation area. But with our lodge and with our RV sites, with the addition of 300, we will be the largest in the state. Obviously, the largest revenue generating park in the state to go with that, which is very exciting. And then the big thing is the pier. Now, there's been a lot of, we've suffered through Sally. We talked about FEMA, Mayor. trust me, we've all been through this. I went through it with the City of Gulf Shores. I've gone through it in the state park, and I see y'all's pain when we have that H word come into town. We're happy to say that November 1st, we will commence construction on the pier. That bid was awarded to MD Thomas, one of our local businesses here, so he will carry that through, and we're hoping for approximately a July 1st open date for that. So the pier will shut down during that time, including the parking lot, but that's our goal, to get that done as quickly as possible. And we know how valuable that is, not just to our citizens of both cities, but to our guests as well. It's a major revenue generator, generates about $1 million a year, just the pier itself. So just to kind of close things up, I want to talk about a couple events that we do too. We just wrapped up our Shark Week. Most things we do at the state park are conservation based. They fit our mission. We have a mission to conserve our lands and our wildlife and our protected areas for the purpose of public access. So it's always important to us, and with that comes an educational piece. So our Shark Week was extremely popular. It's getting to the point where we have so many outsiders visiting us, which is what we want. We don't have enough time for our citizens. So next year we're planning for a day that will be a locals-only day for Shark Week, and that'll be timed and dated to a point where our citizens can come in and actually enjoy that. And like with most of our events here, they're very popular. Our Angler Academy is going on. Again, the point of that is to preach the conservation of our fisheries resources and teach our children about fishing. We have an intern with us right now that's training on that. That goes through August 4th. It happens annually. I encourage all our citizens to come check that out. You get to fish on the pier. We provide all the bait, tackle, and the poles. And it's a wonderful opportunity for our children to learn about our local species and the conservation of fish and shark. And then, of course, we've got our Turtle Fest coming up in September 9th and 10th, and that's a great thing. It preaches turtle conservation. It's an opportunity to get up and close with a protected species that typically we cannot get around. So very excited to announce that. And then just one more thing that I'm very proud of. Our state park system was put into place in 1939. And that same year, there was an organization called the National Association of State Park Directors. It is a national association that includes all 50 state directors and the directors from Puerto Rico and Canada, and they meet annually. It travels from state to state. Last year it was in Oregon. I attended that. This year it's in Nevada. Nevada State Park hosts it. Next year, the state of Alabama hosts it for the first time ever. And we will host it here at Gulf State Park. So we will be hosting state park directors from all 50 states plus Canada and Puerto Rico. So what a way to showcase our communities and our state park to this crowd. Typically we see about 400. We're expecting about 600 people attend this. It's that impressive, and they're that excited about it. So next September 2024, we see a bunch of out-of-state license plates. They're not just buying homes here. They're visiting us. All of our stuff can be checked out on alapark.com. If you go to our Gulf State webpage on that, you can see all our events, sign up for various things, and also look at all our lodging and everything happening in the park. And with that, if you have any quick questions, if not, I'd like to introduce my colleague.
Matt, we just want to say thank you for all you do. I mean, I know you work close with Philip and the team there, but we appreciate your leadership. And
thank you, sir.
Appreciate your passion for all the state parks, but especially for Gulf State Park.
Thank you, sir. All right, with that, no secret, we're having a prescribed burn coming up, so my colleague Ricky Fields from Alabama Forestry Commission is here. He's got a brief overview of what's going on, kind of informing the public. And this is an educational piece. We want to learn about why we're doing this. It's not a scary thing, but it's a very important thing when we talk about the conservation of our state park system and the safety of our community as well. So with that, Ricky.
Thank you. Good afternoon, City Council members, Mayor. My name is Ricky Fields, and I will be overseeing the burn operations on this upcoming burn that we've been planning. Pretty much from start to finish, this has been a long-term plan that we've been working on. Many of the reasons up there, as you can see, the burn objectives, fuel reduction, wildlife habitat, invasive species control, but most importantly, we're trying to prevent another 2011 wildfire. I'm not sure if many of you were here during that time, but that was a chaotic time, to say the least. We had a lot of evacuations. We had a lot of things going on, a lot of resources we had to call down. A lot of local resources were charged with as far as suppressing this fire and so forth. So what we've done since 2011 is basically do what's a proactive approach. We've identified several key areas throughout Gulf State Park that we've been burning over the years. Typically, these areas are usually under 200 acres. I try to compartmentalize them smaller than that if I can. But this particular area that we're planning on burning next month, this is the largest area that we have that we can't compartmentalize, mainly due to mainly swampy conditions, and we just don't have any kind of access to the interior as far as doing any kind of mulching, any kind of fire breaks or anything. So we've partnered with the Nature Conservancy, the Orange Beach Fire Department, ALEA. Their helicopter will be here during that time. And basically, you know, we just wanted to notify as many people as we can. We've worked closely with the airport, the wharf, many areas, many key components of that may be an issue during the burn. But basically, again, we're just trying to create a proactive approach as far as preventing this, another wildfire in the area. The pictures you see here, I'm not sure if many of you know, but the 2011 wildfire was actually caused by somebody throwing out some hot charcoal that ignited the fire. But to my right here, you'll see what's basically is a vape pen that looks like somebody, it didn't work or anyway, but somebody threw it off the trail here and it actually ignited. Luckily, the conditions weren't right for that to cause much of a disturbance. Next slide, if you don't mind. These pictures here were taken in the last month or so. You can see lightning strikes that have actually happened in areas that we have burned. But there wasn't a whole lot of vegetation for this fire to carry through there. So luckily, there was no any kind of situations with that as well. This particular picture here is kind of gives you, right there, go back to that map if you don't mind. Okay, so as you can see here in the red down there where we're at, Baldwin, Mobile County, Florida is the number two state in the country for wildfires. Louisiana is third, Mississippi is fourth, and Alabama is sixth. So we have a lot of wildfires caused by lightning. So by us burning this, removing the vegetative fuel and so forth, is going to greatly decrease our future risk of wildfires in the area. So that's basically, you know, the gist of it. I'm not going to get too deeply involved. There's a list of the trail closings. August 15th through 25th. I'm not going to read through all that, but I just basically wanted to reach out, another way of reaching out to all of you. If anybody's got any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. As you can see up here, August 14th, we're going to have an agency administrative briefing, so everybody's invited to attend. We're going to basically run through our ignition operations. We're going to run through safety. We're going to run through a lot of things. So hopefully that should answer all of your in-depth questions. And if you guys have any questions tonight, I'd be more than happy to answer them. 15th through the 25th.
Weather pending, right?
Weather pending. Weather pending.
Yeah.
So.
And we need the wind going west, east to west.
Well, it depends on what time of that time of year, it's more likely going to be southeasterly. So
well, you need to change the date. It's got to go east to west.
I agree.
Yeah. Messing with you, buddy.
So.
Thank you for the update.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We appreciate it.
Okay, and on the 14th, like I said, if you guys have any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer.
Well, we greatly appreciate the preemptive and proactive position.
Great, really, thank you. We're glad everybody's on board with us. Yeah. So. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Pishina.
Hello, I'm Vicki Pishna. I am the HR director for the City of Orange Beach. I'm just going to go over a few things. You can keep an eye on the slideshow. We started the summer worker program for youth in 2018, 6 years ago. We have 32 student workers this year. I really would like to thank all the departments and all the division supervisors who have taken these kids on. It's a lot of work. They're young, green, and have a lot of energy. We send these students to logistics, coastal resources, sail camp, expect excellence, sportsplex, concessions, and admin. Since we started the program, we've also incorporated some life skills training. In the beginning of the season, we do a lunch and learn with Matt Fettner from Bryant Bank, and he comes and speaks with them and goes over their first paycheck and how to read it. He goes over federal and state taxes, FICA and Medicare, what the money is used for, gross and net, and he talks about the importance of tracking your money and checking your balance and balancing your checkbook. A lot of them are a little surprised that they don't get exactly what they thought. We also have Jane Neese, the Sportsplex superintendent, come and teach the teens how and why you need to check your oil, water, and tire pressure. He taught them how to change a tire, so you can see the presentation. There's a good bit of him, the kids actually changing tires. And last week, Patty and I did one-on-one in mock interviews with the students. We went over the importance of eye contact, introducing yourself, shaking the interviewer's hands, and listening to the question before answering. We hope to add more life skills as years go on. This was just a great year of teens. We had zero issues, none that actually made it to me, so that's always good. And they all seemed to be happy where they were, but I brought a few with me to introduce themselves and tell everybody what they learned.
I'm Lucas Wall, and this is my first year in the Summer Worker Program, and it's been a really great experience having this opportunity. I've learned a lot of things, like how she stated, how we learned to check our oil, water, plenty of good life skills, especially with the interview. That definitely showed some important characteristics that we need to learn for ourselves.
Hi, I'm Ariana Taylor Whitman. This is also my first year in the Summer Worker Program. I'm thankful that I had this opportunity because I learned how to take care of responsibilities outside of home and school, and I'm really glad that I got to do this.
My name is Evelyn Dutter, and it is also my first year. I work over at Expect Excellence, and I'm one of like the many teen workers that we have over there. My favorite thing about this year is getting to hear from the parents all about what their kids say about us teen workers and knowing that we make a positive impact in their lives out of just being there in the workplace, and they actually talk about us, so that was nice to hear.
Do you guys have any questions for them?
Just a thank you so much. 32, you said 32, is that correct? Involved in the program, that's awesome. Thank you for you three for coming tonight, and we appreciate what you've done.
We're proud that you're part of our program. Yes. Vicki, tell us, just this is for all children 14 and older?
Just 14 and 15. 14 and 15. It's the age group where they're sitting at home. They might be playing on the computer, not getting outside. You know, they're not old enough really to work in the big world, so we just don't want them idle. So this is a good opportunity to help them out and help us out, because we actually do have a need for manual labor.
It's a great program.
It's a great program.
So are the three of you 14 or 15? Will you be back next year?
I will.
You will?
I definitely will. I'm also 14.
Awesome.
I'm 14. I'll be back.
They'll be back.
Awesome. That's great.
And we interviewed them, and they will be coming back.
Well, we appreciate y'all very much, all you do.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vicki.
Hey, before we move forward, I do want to bring one thing to attention. I see the Lindsays in the audience. I don't know how many of y'all are aware, but we have an incredible family from Orange Beach that are missionaries in Thailand. They're actually building a farm with horses for people to ride, and it's part of their working with the locals and their mission. And this week, they lost their house in a house fire one night. The girls had to go to ICU, they had to get checked. Report did finally come back that they were able to be released. But if y'all like to get up and say something about it and just kind of how we can help, just because I noticed you, I'd love for you to if you want to.
Mainly
Come on to the mic.
Just keep them in your prayers. Their sending agency is Globe out of Pensacola, and they're working with them for step-by-step of what's next, and Gary and I will be leaving Monday, and we'll be over there for about a month to help them out.
Is there any place for donations to be?
Globe. And then Orange Beach Methodist is taking up donations.
Okay.
Yeah, Globe International is out of Pensacola. In fact, we're meeting with them tomorrow to see what kind of things they want to do, you know, as far as support goes, and they've been very supportive in Orange Beach Methodist as well. We appreciate your...
Do me this favor, message me when you get the information so I can get it. We'll get it on our marquees and help to distribute the word.
We'll put it on our website as well.
Thank you
for being here tonight. And you've had a lot of prayers. I mean, some of the text feeds and some of the comments have been incredible.
It was a very traumatic experience for our granddaughters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. But they're good now.
12, 10, and 8. So.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're here to help. Please let us know how. Okay. Are you on the list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see your name.
Okay. I won't be here for a second. I just want to introduce our superstar. Jackie McGonigal, our Wind & Water Learning Center coordinator. She's going to introduce her staff.
I'm just really glad I did not have to follow Jonathan. I'm going to be brief. I know y'all have a lot on the agenda. I just wanted to do a recap of our sail camp season. We're actually in the final week of it right now. And I brought my staff with me, too. If y'all will go ahead and stand up. I'll introduce them individually as we go. This is Ian. He's a second-year sailing instructor with us. And then y'all have already heard from Lucas. Vicky, thank you for throwing him our way. He's a first-year junior sailing instructor. Isla Cantrell can't be here, but she was also a part of the student work program. She's a first-year junior instructor with us as well. Then we have Clara Stone. She's a second-year instructor. She's also received her small boat instructor certification through U.S. Sailing this year, which is a huge accomplishment. She's one of the youngest people to do that, so that's great that we have her with us on our staff. And we also have Gary Lindsay. He was a first-year instructor with us. He's also an EMT, so that gave me a lot of peace of mind having him on the staff. So far, only Band-Aids. And we also have Gavin Faircloth. He's our head instructor for the third year in a row, and he's also certified through U.S. Sailing as well. So great, great staff, wonderful team this year. So thank y'all.
Jackie.
Hold on. I'm not done. I'm nervous. I'm on a roll. Just let me keep going. This year we had 8 weeks of camp, 15 sessions in total, which is 1 week less than we had last year. But we were able to increase our revenue by 20%, and we were able to serve kids ages 6 through 17 years old. So we went all the way up through high school this year. We use the three fleets that we have, Opties, Sunfish, and Club 420s. And we had a total of 173 campers. That was only a slight increase from last year, but we were able to increase our actual resident youth by almost 15%, which was really important to us to do. And then this year, just like last summer, we followed U.S. Sailing's curriculum, small boat curriculum specifically, and their teaching guidelines. And this translates, I think, to a higher quality of instruction. And I think it also shows with our level of safety on the water. And we've gotten some really positive feedback from our community and families that have allowed their kids to come attend with us. Looking ahead, I know we had set some goals for last year. We met almost all of them. And then looking ahead for 2024, main goals are to support returning sail camp staff with year-round coaching and training opportunities so they can keep their sailing skills current. And if it's a goal of theirs to attain U.S. Sailing certification, even up to higher levels than what they already have, I want to do everything that I can to help them reach that, and then to continue to increase the registration accessibility for Orange Beach youth especially, so we can just further build our sailing community here. All right. Oh, and thank yous. Coastal Resources Department, because they solve all of my logistical issues. Mark Anderson, because he solves all my registration issues. Jeannie is still a huge supporter and is always giving me little tidbits of advice. She's been creating our sail camp certificates every single week for these kids. And then we've had a few individuals, Ava Ingersoll, I don't know if she's here or not, but Ann Saunders, they started helping me back in February refurbish our sunfish fleet and get that up to par. And then, of course, the sail camp families and our instructional staff. They really make this program what it is, and we're going to keep making it even better.
Jackie, in my house, sail camp comes before softball and cheerleading by far.
Oh, that's great to hear.
I just want to share how what an exceptional experience it is, and Jackie and Gary and the entire instructors, y'all made it. I mean, my two grandsons went for 1 week. They absolutely loved it, and it was a tremendous experience. And I was glad we were able to get the regatta in on the Friday of that week. And how watching these youngsters and the instructors help them to guide the sailboats out and bring them back in. But Jackie, your attention to detail is just applaudable, because every little single thing about it was done professionally, and we want to just say thank you. You have elevated the Wind and Water Learning Center to a level that we were hoping it would make it to, and so thank you all, for every one of you, for all the many hours that you spent with the youngsters and making it a special time for them.
Thank you all for your support.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to finished business, a resolution adopting rental agreement and fee schedule for the Orange Beach Event Center.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolutions. Resolution amending resolution number 23-063, authorizing purchase of recorder server for the police department, $73,725.50.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution appropriating funds, Gulf United Metro Business Organization, or GUMBO, $12,500 for the Tourism Summit.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution to award the proposal for the EMS billing services to EMS Management Consultants.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution awarding the bid for Orange Beach, Gulf State Park, Gulf Shores Beach Restoration Project, Great Lakes Dredge Dock Company, $11,694,176.36. That's the best you could do, Philip. I know. It is what it is. Got to have a beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Sawgrass, additional professional services related to the construction of fire station number 3, $38,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution authorizing execution of franchise agreement with Southern Light.
Move to adopt the resolution. Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution authorizing execution of a software license agreement station automation, PS tracks, narcotics tracking software for the fire department.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I call committee the whole meeting for August 1st, 2023 to order. Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kenton?
Here, considering previous minutes of the work session, regular council meeting, committee of the whole from 7/18/23. We move forward for review, moving to new business resolutions. I'll read all of these and allow y'all to, we'll ask questions afterwards. Resolution awarding the bid for the baseball field turf installation and dugouts. Resolution awarding the bid for the new Wildlife Center Phase 2 interior build-out. Resolution authorizing the execution of professional services agreement with McCullough Architecture for architectural services. Resolution authorizing the purchase of artificial turf, materials only for the soccer football field, Sportsplex, through Southwell, $436,570. Set a public hearing for money Bayou Drive, storage buildings, 9/5/23. Public hearing for an appeal by Ike's Beach Service, August. I apologize.
I wish it was April, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Public hearing and first reading for an ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Buena Vista on the Beach, PUD, minor modification, August 15th, 2023. So, any questions on any of those?
And we do intend to be back at in council chambers next meeting, right, Glenn? On record. Yes. Okay. If for some unforeseen reason, Angela did say the event center is open, so if we have to, but we're planning on council chambers.
Chief Kimmerling, apparently there's a bad accident across from City Hall. Any update?
So there was no entrapment.
Thank you.
Anyone have anything they'd like to add, talk about, suggestions, critiques? Okay, if not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.